Well, I wanted to begin this morning by just sharing a story about a tough guy with you. Bill Brown. He was a fullback for the Minnesota Vikings from 1962 through 1974. If you are an old football guy, you might remember Bill Brown. He was named to the Pro Bowl four times, and he still holds several of the Viking team records. He was well known for his toughness. And the story is told that during one game, after a very difficult set of plays, Bill Brown came off the field to the sidelines, breathing hard with his mouth wide open, looking up toward the sky, just Well, while he's gasping for breath like that, trying to pull in as much oxygen as he can into his lungs, this large June bug, beetle, about an inch long. You guys know what a June bug is. Big hard shell beetle. Flew right into his mouth. Well, one of his teammates saw it happen, and he was waiting to see what Bill was going to do, whether he was going to spit that bug out or just crunch it and swallow it. Something. But Bill acted like nothing even happened. He just... Well, so his teammate, he comes up to him with this cup of water. He says, "Bill, you want to wash that down?" And Bill just looks at him and says, "If he wants down, let him walk down." That's tough. Well, we made a pretty lofty claim last night, saying that God is our Father and we're His sons. Where do we get that idea from? That's the subject of what I want to talk with you first about this morning, is really the theology of sonship. And we begin with this question: what is a Christian? What is a Christian? And we can answer that question a number of different ways, but one of the best answers I've ever heard is the answer that G.I. Packer gives in his book, Knowing God. He writes this: a Christian is one who has God as Father. Now let that sink in for a moment. Those few words, they capture the very important truth that every follower of Jesus Christ needs to take hold of and let fill their life. A Christian is one who has God as Father. Simple, and very deep, and life-transforming at the same time. A Christian is one who has God as Father. If you have your Bible, let's flip over to Galatians chapter 3. We didn't read very much Scripture last night, but we're going to read quite a bit of Scripture in this first session this morning. So get your Bible out. Galatians 3. Verse 25, Paul writes, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." Some very profound changes take place in a person who enters into this relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Not only are we no longer under condemnation, rescued from sin and eternal separation from God, but we have been given a new relationship with God, adopted as His sons. You are all sons of God, it says. It's common in everyday conversation to refer to all people as God's children. And all people are God's children in the sense that we have all been created by God. We're all loved by God in a general way. But that is not what Paul's talking about here. And that's not what we're talking about either. When Paul makes this incredible declaration that we're sons of God, he's saying something very different than that. Sonship is a supernatural gift which is received not through being born in this world, but being born again by the Spirit of God, having put our faith in Jesus as the Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12, you can flip over there. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. John writes there, "But to all who receive him, Jesus, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The theological term that's used for this idea that we're talking about is adoption. Adoption. When we come to Christ in faith, a radically new relationship with God is established. We're no longer merely his creatures or his servants. Instead, we are adopted by God as his very own children, his sons and daughters. And we will inherit all of the rights and privileges. We have inherited all the rights and privileges. We have all the rights and privileges that come along with this new kind of relationship with God as his sons. Flip over to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." There it is. That word Abba, Abba, Father, it's an Aramaic term of personal endearment, similar to our word papa or daddy in English. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, "Daddy." Over in Romans chapter 8, this passage is a little bit long, but it's so pregnant with important spiritual truth for us and what we're talking about. I want to take the time to read it. Romans 8, beginning in verse 15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father,' or 'Daddy, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hopes that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." This is you. You're the children of God that the whole creation is waiting to see revealed. "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." That's pretty cool. 1 John Chapter 3. Let's go over there. We have to make up for not looking at very many verses last night, you know. And this first session is really, this is the theology. This is the foundation. This is the ground upon which we're standing. And it's important that we understand where we get this idea that we are the sons of God. He's our Father. This is not wishful thinking. This is the real deal. This is a done thing. So 1 John 3, verse 1. This has always been one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, actually, this little passage right here. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we're God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." John's blown away at the thought that we are called children of God. And not only are we called children of God, but he says we really are children of God. It's not just a neat expression, all God's children. It's not just words. It's true. It's a fact. It's a real thing. The love expressed toward us by God in making us his children is beyond comprehension. Says the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The watching world may not recognize us as children of God. I mean, they may not see us as anything different than themselves. We look like just your garden variety human being to them, but we're not. John says that shouldn't come as any surprise to us, because they didn't recognize Jesus either. They didn't see him for who he really was either. So don't let their failure to see you as a son of God bother you or get you down. God knows who you are, and that's what matters. God knows who you are, and that's what matters. Your child. He knows it. He's declared it. He's the one who's made it a reality. Verse 2, John himself, he confesses that he doesn't even know what we will ultimately be. But we know that when Jesus appears, we'll be like him. Romans 8:29, it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Colossians 3:4. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." 1 Corinthians 15:47. "The first man was from the earth, a man of dust," talking about Adam. "The second man, Jesus, is from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust," and indeed we have, "we also shall bear the image of the man of heaven." Rick Warren, pastor, Saddleback Church down in Southern California, I subscribe to his Twitter feed. And this was what he tweeted this morning. I thought was interesting. He makes reference basically to this scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "The value of any coin isn't determined by what it's made of, but by the image stamped on it." And the same with us. We're just made of dirt. And that's not what determines our value. What determines our value is this image that's stamped on us. We have the image of Christ. And that's what gives us value. So imagine that, Christian. You're going to be like Jesus one day. What an incredible thing to think about, to be like Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from degree of glory to another, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We're becoming more and more like Jesus all the time, and one day, boom, the whole glorious you is going to be revealed to an astonished world. Imagine that you were an orphan living on the streets, scraping and fighting to survive day by day on whatever you could find, whatever you could beg for, whatever you can steal. And then one day, the king found you wandering around on the streets alone, and he took you into his palace and adopted you as his very own son, giving you all of the rights and all the privileges of his naturally born son. That's what's happened. Question for you: what would change for you? In what ways would your life be different? You go from street urchin to son of the king. That's what I want you to think about as a closing thought.